Thank you. Thank you, Eddie. Lovely to be with you, gentlemen, this morning. It's a privilege to be here and to be asked to come and share with you. I'm only going to share with you my experience and what's been on my heart. I have no hard, fast rule that I've been taught. It's what has come to me. So if you'll appreciate it and take it in that light, then take out of it what you feel, and I pray that God will bless our time together. Can I just say, it's lovely to be in a Methodist church listening to the volume of where you chaps reach when you're singing. Quite a number of you may have roots with the Methodist church, probably, and they're known for their singing, and it really came out this morning. It's absolutely exhilarating to be among gentlemen. A very simple beginning. Bernie was a gentleman that came into our church, and he was a gentleman that had been attending church for many, many years with his wife. A gentleman who had had the upbringing and who had had very gently the teaching, but he hadn't really taken much on board. A simple beginning. One morning, I said to Bernie, would you be able to help me in my address this morning? And he hesitated because he was a very, very nervous gentleman. And he said, yes. And I said, I'm going to use an illustration. This illustration is what Paul was saying to the church, that when people come into your church, treat them all as humble individuals, because someone's very finely dressed, it doesn't mean to say he's any more important. And I got him to sit down. I put a jumper on him, an old jumper of mine, and I tore the jumper. That hurt him, but I tore the jumper so that he felt he was in rags. And I used the illustration. I'm going to leave it at that for the time being. I'm a farmer by trade. And I was going about my duty and was watching the bird life. I love the bird life. There was a buzzard that flew from a tree to another tree and disappeared on its own. But it was followed by two or three crows. The crows were there because the buzzard was an annoyance to him and they were going to stand up for themselves. We've had families of long-tailed tits who come into the bush near the house. And I'm aware that in winter, long-tailed tits have great difficulty in keeping warm. And they huddle together on a branch. And they'll move, if they can, from the outside to the inside, where there is the greatest warmth of a long line of tits on the branch. But this was the thing I was really struck with one morning, only about 2.5 weeks ago. When I looked up, when I got to the farm, when I looked up, there was the electricity line. And it was full of swallows. These swallows were preparing for something that they'd never experienced before. At least, I understand the vast majority of them have. They were preparing to migrate. Youngsters who had come into the world near, as Eddie said, Pickering in North Yorkshire. And they were assembling on this electric wire. And I counted there was 140 of them on these wires. And I thought, some church. They were busy preening themselves, preparing their feathers, stretching their wings. But they were there. They were together. They seemed to be as one. The next morning, no sign of 140 swallows, I take it, they're gone. Being a farmer, I've been very, very touched by the way that God speaks through the natural world. And very struck by particularly Ezekiel 34. And I'm not preaching a sermon, don't get me wrong here. Ezekiel 34 talks of shepherding. I've experienced in my life different types of shepherding. And I like to think that my experience on the farm helps bring home the fact that people also need a good shepherd. I don't put myself in the good shepherd category, but I put myself in the category of having responsibility for people in order to bring the best out in people so that they can be the people who they were created to be. And you never know where that comes from sometimes. I believe that everyone is precious. I'm told that. It's relayed to my heart. Everyone is precious. Everyone has a special gift which they can use at a different time or a certain appointed time in their life. As leaders, we've got to try and find out what that is in people so that we can bring out the very best in those people. To stimulate the right interpretation and interreaction with people is a very important thing to do. Mary Kane Dudley wrote in her book on reflections of the experience of a northern school how she realized that the children of this school were losing this interaction. And when they had a meeting of all the staff together, they decided that the staff should go back in time and go and play with these children out in the playground. Ring-a-ring-a-roses, hopscotch, and all the games that they used to do. Because unfortunately, children were losing the communication and the interaction with each other through the way that modern technology was working. And the technology is good in the rightful place. But it's about generating this right approach to life. And all of a sudden, they found that the school settled into a more organized, more responsive manner by doing this, because people were reacting with people. One of the things that I find that I do quite a lot is study body language. Dangerous game, it can be. But you know what I'm referring to? You're watching a person, and it's not about people watching for taking the wrong negative side. It's about watching people so that you know what potential and what interest and what there is within them which can come forth and be used. As a church leader, then, as Eddie said, and I'm quite humble and touched by the way he said it's part of my DNA. I didn't know it was naturally there, but that's just the way that I feel. And so to search and to find what is appropriate for a person is very, very important. To find their slot and find their gifting within the Church of God. Nigella is a member of the church. She is a person who has nearly every physical problem with her body that you and I could ever imagine. If I was to set on and talk about them, she's got diabetes, and I know what that's all about. But she has kidney failure, and they've got to the stage where they can't treat her anymore. They've got to be very careful what they do. She's got eyesight problems. Other body functions just don't go. She's on a delicate thread. But if you want a person to pray with you, if you want a person to lead a session of prayer, Nigella is the lady whom you can go to. And if you look at her face won't be as serious as you chaps. Her face will be shining bright because of the way that Jesus works through her life. Now, in many places, because of her, I don't want to use the word disability, because of restrictions, she would not be able to have a gift or use her gift. But she has a powerful prayer. She's got a powerful understanding of the Word of God too. And even though she's gone through periods when she cannot read the Bible because of her eyesight, she has instilled into her heart a memory of so many important verses. She is an example to many, many people. And if you look at her face, she just reflects the face of Jesus in the way she works. She turns up on a mobility scooter, and it's a thrill for her to be able to come independently and be part of the church. And when she can't there, she misses it, sadly. I had a friend who was involved in ministry. And this friend said, if someone feels they have a gift, I will take that gift on board and I will give them 3 months. And say, yeah, if you feel you have that gift, you'll be let free to use it. But we'll have a chat about things from time to time. And that worked tremendously, having spoken to people within his church. I believe a leader, there's got to be an encourager and a very positive person. It's so easy, isn't it, to home in on the things that go wrong. But I believe a leader has got to go the extra mile and overlook so much. Take it on board for what it's worth, if it's necessary. But overlook that and move forward and move on. There will always be critics. And we have one lady, Anne, who's part of our group. And if you want someone to be critical, just talk to Anne. If you want to find out something that's not going very well, just talk to Anne. But I can assure you that underneath that critical outer picture is a lady that would keep contact with you if it was necessary. With you if it was necessary. With you if it was necessary. Understand what I'm saying here. Get beyond something which is an obstacle to the vast majority of people. Underneath is a person who cares and who will encourage, whether it's by a message on the phone, a phone call, or a word. Study the faces and the reactions. Look at the body language. Never make a spectacle of anything that has not gone so well. Use the experience, reflect on it, but don't make a spectacle. One of the things I found with Anne was that if I took note of everything she said, I wouldn't progress, whether I felt it was right or not. What I found with this lady's approach was, if you're not careful, it rubs off onto other people. And that stops other people developing into who God would have them be. And so one of the hardest things is trying to steer a course through so that other people will not be influenced. It will not be brought to the top of conversation. If it's not important, it will be kept down there. And do you know, in spite of all the critics, of all the critical things, Anne is still there. God uses her. She has a gift. It might be covered over, but it's there. We have to absorb the shocks. We've got to help them understand. And one of the hardest things also is, there's a few hard things. One of the hard things also I've found is that when you're developing the gifts within a group of people, you might have some explaining to do. And that is to other people who don't fully understand where it's going. I believe, as I said earlier, everyone has a gift. And in order for them to use it, they've got to be given opportunity to use it. Not everybody will appreciate that opportunity. Sometimes it was said, oh, I'm not coming because they're leading that week. Why not? Because they couldn't see the opportunity which was coming to the person who was leading to develop that person. Are you with me on this one? Okay. It's sometimes hard to appreciate, for other people to appreciate, because people, or we get full, let's talk collectively here, we get full of what we like and what we are comfortable with. All because somebody else hasn't quite got to the stage of being able to present themselves in the way which is ideal. Learning is a long process. Teaching is a long process. And if I was to ask you how many sermons you'd listened to and how many you remember, you know, it's often said, isn't it? What's the number? I think it's quite small compared with the volume that a lot of us heard. There's lots of things, and as speakers and preachers, and many of you will associate with this, you can feel you have a right good message, and a message which hits the nail on the head for some particular aspect of life. And yet you find that maybe only 10% of the people have really taken it on board. And so when something happens in the future, but we're not doing that. That's not God, what God wants for us. We were talking about this only before. They haven't taken it on board because they were only listening at certain times. Just like the same you might be doing to me. Only listening at certain times. And so it's hard sometimes explaining what we need to achieve. But as leaders, we have a lot of discernment to do. We've got to do a lot of listening from God in order to bring the best out in people. And in human terms, we do a lot of trusting that when a person is going through the early stages, and believe you me, I've not got it right, but when a person is going through the early stages and they're learning, they need the grace given to them by God above and by the people around until they get to that stage. Trying to generate one voice, one body in harmony isn't easy. But as a church, this is where I believe God wants us to go. Let me take you through another illustration. Harriet is a lady who has very, very strong feelings. And she studied the Word of God. And she understands quite a lot about healing. Not so much in the physical sense, but in the spiritual sense. A lady who I felt had a lot of great potential. And a lady who I asked if she would be able to be involved from time to time. And she begun, and then she felt there was a few barriers set up against her because other people weren't on her wavelength. And when she got on to the subject of healing, her opinion was very, very strong. I won't go into detail. But after time, I asked her again if she would be willing to get involved in convening on a Sunday morning. And her words, she said to me, "If you think I can, yes, I will." Now, I don't want praise, but somehow within that, there was a progression in her heart that had been touched by the Spirit of the living God. With gentle nurturing, she was beginning to change that aggressive front because you didn't believe what she believed, then she couldn't accept that. But when she was convening only a matter of a month ago, Harriet was speaking from the front and she put her point across very gently so that you or I who was listening didn't feel that that's definitely it. She had spiritual, she had biblical backing for all she said, but she said it gently and quietly. So then leaving it up to those who were listening to take it on board, to think about it. You know, if I smash you in the face with something, I wouldn't do that. But if I smashed you in the face with something, I can't be much more forceful than that, can I? But if I present something for you so that you can think about it, you can take it on board, you can take it from there to there, then I believe it will have a much greater impact and you will value it for what is right for you. This nurturing process with Harriet was really quite thrilling to see that she'd moved from there to there. We have a responsibility as leaders to make sure that whoever is involved is not steering the ship off the line. And that process was coming with Harriet. Getting into the Word and understanding what the Word is. Coming back to Bernie, who I begun with a very simple beginning. Bernie has been part of a group and he's been involved in developing the Word. And now, after all these years, if you remember, I said that he'd been to a church service, but he hadn't had opportunity to get involved and explore things. He was beginning to talk, well, this is what Jesus would do. And he's a great person for actually talking to people, serving a cup of tea, and welcoming at the door. Because I believe there's release in his heart through a gentle nurturing process so that his gifting has come out. One of the most nervous people you would have, but one of the people that's growing. And we have many more that have actually shown their gifting and ability by being asked to just convene some days at church. That means that when they're preparing, they're looking into the Word of God for what is appropriate. And if you want some uplifting encouragement from the Word of God, you start and study it because you've got a reason. I've no need to tell you chaps that, but this is what I believe. Study it because you've got a reason. And you find a much greater amount of scripture than what you're able to use. And you find how that scripture enables you to develop and move forward because you've looked at the bigger picture and you've not just looked at one thing. We're good at listening to what we're able to take on board. But sometimes to be able to go deeper is a very appropriate thing. And so we've encouraged people to speak, to study, and to bring forward a bit. Doesn't always go right. And if I can mention a gentleman called Alan. And one day he came and he came to me at the beginning and he said, I don't feel very appropriate to do communion. Will you do communion? And I said, yes, Alan. I'll do communion. When he begun his convening, he said, I don't feel really appropriate to be here to take this session. I'm a little bit quandary in my heart as to what I should be doing and what God would say through me. I just don't have the confidence. David, who was there that morning, said, we'll pray for him. And you know, this is the amazing thing I want you to remember out of this. That even though it wasn't run like clockwork, the Spirit of God begun to work in that meeting. And that was a meeting which people remember. because of the openness and the honesty of the man who was there, who had convened before. But he didn't feel in that appropriate state that morning. And David came forward and we prayed with Alan. And people got out of that the freedom of the movement of the Spirit of God. A gift that you would never have envisaged. But because of the honesty of a man before people, you would have thought he would have had confidence, but he didn't. And he openly admitted, and the Spirit of God moved as a result of that. The gift was his openness and his honesty, not in his leadership, but his openness and his honesty. You may be amazed. 3 years ago, in Vale Christian Fellowship, we had three speakers. And I'm pleased that we've got out of that mold, because every speaker that comes brings a freshness, brings something which you don't envisage. And when somebody's asked to be involved and share what is on their heart, usually there's a little gem comes out of that if you're looking for it. Nathan was a chap who, very hesitant in his speech, would only say what was important, nothing more, nothing less. When Nathan began to speak at the front of church, Nathan would say a bit, pause for a while. Say a bit more, pause for a while. Very thoughtful. And you knew that what he said was serious. But then after 4 or 5 occasions, the fluency that came when he prepared everything and he was ready to say what God had placed on his heart was amazing, because of the opportunity he was given. Derek, a chap who was prophetic, had a very good, strong prophetic ministry. Every now and again would be a word from Derek. But he'd been part of a group before coming that had suppressed that. And he'd felt the pain that God had placed things on his heart. Some of you may be able to associate with this. Then because there was not the freedom for them to come out as God would have them do in his life, then he was a very frustrated Christian man and a lovely man. But having the freedom to be prophetic at appropriate times, when it could be taken on board and used, is a tremendous gift. I'm going to draw to a close by just highlighting something which I did with the church. And relayed it to the people. And in my report I said, just take a moment and look at all the gifts shown within the fellowship. And basically, I was trying to pinpoint one in every person of the church. You can't do that with everyone. But I was trying to look at something different. Just listen to this. Set up the church and tidying away. Word and sound projection. Worship. Instrument playing, coordinating personal prayer, coordinating outreach prayer, real prayer warriors, spiritual support and prompting, adaptability, outreach, communication, keeping in touch with special thoughts, holding out a hand of friendship, concern for the less fortunate, biblical teaching, instilling hope and not saying no, wisdom in experience, working against other life pressures, enthusiasm on God's word, harmonious voices, professional secretaries, searchers and encouragers, volunteering approach, food technologists, those who are welcoming, and there are others besides. I'm going to leave it at that. It was interesting to realize that all those qualities were there within people, within the fellowship. And one of the things that I felt God placed on my heart was, if we can bring all those qualities out and we can work as one body together, maybe we will achieve what God sets us out to do, not for our own cozy huddle, but for those outside the church who desperately need you and me to share with them.
Yes, Steve?
Can I ask?
Yes.
How do you feel what you've been talking about would apply to a more traditional congregation had a more rigid meeting style?
I would feel it would apply 100%. The big job is helping it apply. I believe that because every person has something to do, then if you can draw that out of them, which is a gentle nurturing process, but I believe it would apply 100%. I've visited lots of churches, and where the moment the service is over, they're gone, and they don't have much else besides coming together just for that short time. But as I ended with, I believe, Steve, that, you know, we have a mission, and that mission goes beyond these four walls. Nurturing it is the big job, but I believe it would apply 100%. Yeah. Does that answer your question?
I wonder if you have any practical suggestions for how that could happen.
Right. Right, okay. Get to know your people. And it's more than just one-off conversation. It's more than just thinking you've got them assessed or summed up in a few minutes. It takes a long, long time to do that. But get to know your people. And this is why the one-to-one, the talking, the communication, as we're doing now, I strongly feel is very, very important. A gentleman who I was in touch with about 2 years ago, he had people within his congregation who would be great on email, but they wouldn't talk to him face to face. And unfortunately, they couldn't relay, or he couldn't pick up on how they really were without talking to them. I can tell a lot by your reaction, and you will see that in people. Get to know your people. I'm not saying that you don't, but search for that within them which God wants to release.
Could you say a bit about the conduct of meetings so that every member ministry can have? Because so often the pastor does it all, don't they? How would you break that up so that more people are involved?
Are involved, yes.
It's actually modelling it from the front.
Yep. As I mentioned, discernment, being in touch with the Spirit of God is so, so important, so that you're hearing from God at the same time. You can't just give everybody just that opportunity, you know, because it comes out on face value. It's got to be searched to a deeper level than that. But yes, have more and more people involved. I've been involved, and forgive me for using this illustration, been involved with places where it has been dominant from the front. And unfortunately, when that person moves on or is no longer there, there's a vacuum. And one of the greatest responsibilities of a church is to be able to continue and move on in the light of who the church is and what their mission is to do. And so, yes, you know, don't let that happen. It's so easy to organise everything, isn't it? It's so easy, because you're then in control of everything. But as I tried to bring out before, people surprise you in what they can bring sometimes, and that little bit can be very, very uplifting. And I find that people get a lot of encouragement from each other. A lot. Because somebody else was involved, then it helps another person get involved, because they can see that potential coming forward.
I'd also like to emphasise the importance of prayer triplets. With prayer triplets, you can choose your own prayer triplet and invite other people to join you and so on. So basically, you can, if you like, start from where you are, irrespective of how formal your church is. Prayer triplets have been a great blessing to me over the past 30, 40 years. I would really, really recommend that way of ministry as well.
Thank you.
Yes, you were saying.
Just a question about the way in which some of the men operate in my church, in that they support their wives and their ministry incredibly well, but they like to stay on the fringe, and trying to encourage them is a difficult, because they're not church, you know what I mean? Singing is not their forte, etc., etc. And when they get in the social arena, they like to leave.
Yeah.
But they're great at coming to the public. What way do you kind of reach and draw them? It's a big problem.
Lift those people up. They're not just background people. They are important people. An encourager is an important person. A supporter is an important person. And my approach to that, my immediate reaction to that is that let those people know how important they are and that you are interested in what they do, so that they can feel they have a part within the church that you're working through. So that their wife, do they know, or worse, what their wife is doing? Are they involved to that degree? However, you know, that's just a question I would ask, but lift those people up. Lots of people get knocked down. Lots of people get subdued. Lots of people don't feel significant, but they are. I wouldn't be here today without my wife being behind me and supporting me. And I'm sure many of you would say exactly the same thing. But she needs to know how important she is in what I'm able to do for God. And same with these people. Lift them up. Make them feel important. Include them, even though they might not want to come and be part of it. Include them in your thoughts and your prayers. Lift them up.
Steve.
Yeah, very quickly, that's the key part of the CVM strategy. The key part of the CVM strategy is you get alongside these fellas in a place where they're comfortable. Most of them are not comfortable in here. Most of them ain't going to walk through the door of a church, even if it's with their wife. They might come while the kids are young, and actually what we're seeing more and more with these fellas on the fringe is that they come until their children want, boys want to go and play football on a Sunday morning. Then that's the excuse. I'm out of here like a bat out of hell, because I don't actually want to be there, because I don't get it. I might come to support my wife, but I don't get it. So what we advocate within CVM is actually start with the pub, start with the game of football, start with stuff that is non-threatening, that is not on church property, that is nothing to do with church. It's a bunch of mates getting together to live life together, to do life, to do stuff together. And then out of that, you as a Christian man will begin to say, actually, I'm bringing Jesus into this. We're talking about him. We're being Christ to them wherever they are. And then the other part of CVM's work is introducing men to Jesus. And that's very often done there. but introducing the church to men. And most of our churches, and I certainly go, I wouldn't take any of my mates to my church. I wouldn't do it. I just would not do it. They wouldn't come back. I know they wouldn't, so I don't do it. But I do take them to the pub. We go and play football. Well, I don't play football. We run together. We crawl under capris together. That's what we do. And that's where those conversations are had about who Jesus is and is he relevant. And actually, that's where church is done. And prayer triplets, great. Mm. Get together with them at home. Make them comfortable to pray. And that sort of, and then slowly, slowly. But at the same time, work with your church leaders to say, actually, yeah, my mate isn't going to come here because of X, Y, Z. Yeah. So happy to have more conversations about that. And Mick will, over a cup of tea or a pint, but we're not doing pints and I'm driving, so...